We are Two Guys Gaming. Hello and welcome. As always, even though we are under the Two Generations Gaming banner, this is One Guy Reading. Whether you meant to or not, you found Noobs Book Club. In this series, I am reading and reacting to Dragons of Deceit, the latest Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman book from the Dragonlance series. At last, I've come to the final episode of the series. In this episode, I am reading and reacting to Chapter 37, and I will give my final thoughts on the book. Chapter 37. Dalimar prepares himself to meet with Astinus. He remembers that Raistlin met once and described it to him. Only Bertram is able to disturb Astinus, and only did so when summoned. Cairn nervously muses the same, that he's never been to meet Astinus as well. Dalimar tries to calm him. They both enter the study. Astinus sits at a desk, writing the history of Kryn nonstop until he retires to his private chambers at sunset. Some theorize that he sleeps and dreams the history. Others think that he travels to other parts to write the history there. When they enter, Astinus writes their arrival in his book. He then tells Dalimar that they await one more visitor before writing that name in the book. Dalimar sees that it is Tanis. He seems surprised. Astinus orders Bertram to escort Tanis to the study. Bertram also seems surprised, but complies. For his part, Tanis also seems surprised by the meeting and his summons. After introductions, Astinus asks Dalimar if he retrieved all the pieces of the time-traveling device. Dalimar certainly hopes, but warns that if any are missing, it will not work. Cairn becomes surprised that everything took place over 3 days' time. He feels like he was gone much longer. Astinus explains that time sometimes works that way. Astinus then asks Tanis to explain his reasons for coming. He delivers the message from Caramon, explaining the visit from the Keeper of Souls and how Sturm and Raistlin's souls have gone missing. He asks Astinus to confirm, and also how or why it happened. Cairn tells his story to Dalimar and Tanis. Tanis refuses to believe about the Grey Gem, and Astinus scolds him not to underestimate the power of chaos. Cairn gives a theory why Fizban avoided the tavern. He attributes it to the presence of the Grey Gem. And then Astinus takes that to say that if even this god does not want to get involved with this chaos, then certainly they as mortals would be foolish to do so. He finishes by telling them that Destina grabbed the device as he finished the poem, interrupting the ritual and taking Taz, Sturm, and Raistlin with her. The device exploded, dropping him to the library with the pieces. They all come to the conclusion that all of this will have changed history, but have no way of knowing how. When Tanis says that he still has memories of that night, Astinus explains. Time, as a river flows. When something disrupts that flow, it takes time for that change to perpetuate through history and arrive to alter the present. Also, Taz Quantum leaped his past self out of the end. All of this together comes to form a tidal wave of change that they must now wait out to see how it affects, well, everything. Cairn tries to convince Tanis, who is overwhelmed and by extension skeptical. He goes to find something in the archives. Returning with the volume entitled The Third Dragon War, he opens to a list of names present during that time to defend the High Claris Tower. The first they mention is obvious and recognized, Huma's full name. Then they scroll to another, Sturm Brightblade. In addition, there are now two names listed as war wizards, Magius and Raistlin Magier. They figure that Destina either mixed up the time in her head because of a mention of Huma, or the Grey Gem is simply doing its thing. The other pages in the book? Blank. Astinus explains that history has yet to be written. The floodwaters move upstream. As if to drive this point home, words appear at the top of one of the pages to announce the beginning of the Third Dragon War. And we sit to be continued in August. And now for my chapter reaction. The chapter continues the ramping up of action started, parenthetically, way too late in my opinion, a few chapters ago. Without knowing exactly what is happening with Raistlin, Sturm, Taz, and Destina, they leave it to our imagination for now. And we have quite a bit to imagine. I said early in the book, when I realized that there might be time traveling shenanigans, that I only agree with two versions historically, Back to the Future and Quantum Leap. Weiss and Hickman obviously agree, because they employ both. The past changing the future over time is reminiscent of Marty's picture from the first movie, and I already discussed the quantum leap of Taz to his older self, younger self, past self. Because of this, we can fill in not only what happens in the past, but how those events reverberate through the rest of history and into the present and even to the future. Are these the events that sparked the horrors seen when they used the clock? I, for one, now hope that they open with some of the story from that future, flesh it out a bit, and really show how high the stakes are and give us a reason to cheer for their success, besides the possible retconning of the first trilogy and exploiting our nostalgia. More on that later. On another note, I finally got the gray gem that I've been wanting all along. The answer to what can it do? Quote unquote, anything it wants. Hell yes. The only problem with any of this is that I have to wait until August for all of this to pay off. Again, the pacing of this story is so inconsistent. More on that also in a bit. But, in the interest of staying positive, I give them credit for the ending. I mentioned in a previous episode that I can forgive most inconsistent stories if they land the ending. While I can't completely forgive this one, I'm glad they finally got to a point that they're telling a coherent story. Because the last few chapters blew me away with how much I enjoyed them when compared with the earlier chapters. Hell, as recently as the beginning of book 3, I nearly gave up on this story. So, while they don't care one bit about me and my opinion, I salute Weiss and Hickman for turning it around so effectively. I could lie and say that I never doubted, but I respect you all too much to do that. So for now, let's just leave it there. Now, for my final thoughts on the book. I made no secrets of my hate for Destina from the beginning of the book. Then I had an epiphany relating Destina's loss and my own. A few chapters ago, I questioned my capacity for empathy because of my reaction to Destina's reintroduction into the story after her ordeal with the time travel device. It's been quite the journey with old Destina. Maybe I just consider that a win. You don't need to like the protagonist of the story to enjoy that story. History is littered with them. Maybe the most memorable recent example is Breaking Bad, and the much better, parenthetically, in my own opinion, spin-off, Better Call Saul. The difference is that those stories were, how do I put it? Good. I give them credit for trying to get me to care with the first book. It didn't work until much later. By that time, I made up my mind. I didn't care one bit for Destina or her dead father. Awful, I know. But what can I do? What can I do? Focus on the positive and try to come to terms with the character before the next book. Remember when I said I'd possibly never read this again? I might need to in order to come to grips with all of this. I definitely need a palate cleanser, so Ready Player One is a good change of pace. Maybe I'll read this book during the Germany trip. Perhaps a change of scenery will improve my attitude. After all, how can you be mad at anything looking at the Alps, right? Because, even with my dislike of Destina, I found things about the book that I enjoyed. The problem, well established by now, is that those moments were few and far between and peppered with letdown after letdown. It makes it difficult to get into the book. Several times I considered not finishing the book. I kept reading A, for this series and how much I love Dragonlance, and B, because I expected it at some point to grow into something more consistent. I think that it finally did over the last two or three chapters for sure, and even built through most of the third book. So, in the interest again of staying positive, I hope that this trend continues into the next book. Just remind me when we get there that they have to ease back into the story because it technically is a different book. So, don't let me grumpy old man my way through it at the beginning of the next book. I'm putting the responsibility on all of you. Don't let me down. I went through this whole book talking about how ready I felt for new characters and new stories in the book. I kept telling you how much I didn't just want a retelling of earlier stories, how much I just wanted Dragonlance in my life, and how open I felt about the new generation. Then I spent the better part of this series complaining. I felt bad and repeatedly reached for positives among an overwhelmingly negative response to all of this. Go back to those early episodes. I tried to look for a glimmer of something and only came away with a frustratingly slow story devoid of any of the fun I remember from the past. Then Weiss and Hickman exposed me as a fraud. They gave me a chapter that was literally a retelling of the original trilogy introduction, and I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. I said at the time that I had more fun in that chapter than the rest of the book combined. They played my heartstrings like a fiddle and made me sing. So, now I sit at the end of this book completely and utterly lost. Can I enjoy new content in Dragonlance? Am I ready for new characters? Or have I become what I once hated? A bitter old man, unable to cope with changes to a once beloved institution. I mean, I stood steadfast in the face of criticism over the prequels. Even now, watching them with my children, parenthetically, who themselves consider the movies definitive Star Wars, I see the flaws. Attack of the Clones remains my least favorite, but I found things to like during this latest watching last summer. Then I grinned through the sequels' hate and grimaced when quote-unquote fans declared The Last Jedi is the worst Star Wars movie ever. Have they forgotten all about Attack of the Clones? But that's neither here nor there. My point is that Star Wars fans, myself included, are the worst. My other point is that I very much enjoyed the sequels. I think I made the point at the time that much of that stemmed from being able to share Star Wars with my kids in the theater, finally. Two other franchises that I enjoyed without my kids, parenthetically until recently, are Rocky and Scream. I like the new Scream from a couple years ago and use the term requel, taken from the movie to this day. I haven't seen the latest one that came out this year, but life has been crazy lately. I talked about it with a colleague, and we both agreed that the teenage years are far busier than at any other time. Point here is that I really wanted to see the movie, and I plan to see it as soon as possible. I saved Creed for last for a reason. Again, I plan to go with a friend on opening weekend, but like the new Scream, we still have plans to watch it as soon as we can because we didn't get a chance to. I have a feeling that Craig either already watched or will watch before we sit down together. Not that you know or care who Craig is. I seem to be wandering in this section. Time to get back to the point of this story. I like the Creed stories much better than I ever liked Rocky. So putting all of this together now and just getting straight to the point, I liked all of those retellings of the story to a new audience and through a slightly different, parenthetically, or more modern lens before this one. I did not like this one, but I did not hate it either. I felt conflicted, as I'm sure you figured through the series. I theorized early on that I think I might be too close to the source material. I liked Rocky. I really liked Scream. I really, really liked Star Wars. But I love Dragonlance. I guess I now know how the fans who loved those things felt when they got reimagined for a new audience or through a new lens. No, sir, I didn't like it. So I leave it at this. I'll give it time to settle, read the next book, parenthetically Ready Player One, and maybe come back to this one during our summer vacation hiatus in anticipation of the second book of the series. Thanks as always for listening. Thanks for being patient with me over the past couple weeks. I meant to put this in the introduction, but I forgot, so I'll put it here. My day is, I get up, I go to work, I come pick up Quinn, I take him to play, I stay at play until 5 o'clock, I come home, sometimes I have time to work out, I cook dinner, I take Aiden to soccer for 3.5 hours, I come home, I watch a little bit of something, or maybe just play around on the computer, or play around on my phone, I go to sleep, I wake up the next day, I do it again. So I simply couldn't sit down and record this over the last couple of weeks. It's coming out now. I have a schedule for Ready Player One. I have about 10 weeks to get it done. It's just under 40 chapters. As a college-educated math teacher, that arrives me at about 4 chapters per week. I think I'll be able to do about 2 episodes per week. So 2 chapters per episode is where I land at this point. The first one should come out on Sunday. Again, no promises. Things are crazy. And then next week, we'll figure out when the other episodes will come out. I think it'll be Sunday and Wednesday for this one. And that'll be the schedule that I'll try to stick to going forward. Wednesday is slightly less busy because Liam can watch Quinn at play because he doesn't work. So you can find us, as always, if you haven't already, at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles there. We have links to our socials, which includes our YouTube page, which has been, again, tragically underrepresented the last couple of weeks. I hope to get that back up and running next week with the calendar series and maybe some gameplay videos. I don't know. We'll see how things go. I will talk to you again on Sunday when I do the first episode of Ready Player One. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.
We are